don't want to put shackles on the guy. Then you're messing with his mind. Mind your own business over there.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, fresh off the practice field, a little sweaty, a little tan, but he is looking good on his podcast. He is the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer. Lee DeKemper's here of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, we're literally 1 mile from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, and no payments until the fall. That means September. Not a pretend fall of August 1st. No. No payments until the fall, and they're giving an extra $1,000 for your trade. They've got all kinds of great offers at BillCurryFord.com. And remember that Ira Kaufman discount? You ask Sean Sullivan, the Bill Curry Ford general manager. He will give you that Ira Kaufman discount on anything because he just loves Bucks fans. Talk to him about football. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, they've got a great used selection, pre-owned vehicles. They've got service specials. They've got clearance pricing on all used vehicles right now. And bottom line, best and biggest service department in the Tampa Bay area and beyond, really. 100 loaner vehicles. Check them out now. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, we'll talk about Florida's Elite Restoration later. You know, we say the name, Florida's Elite Restoration. Everybody's like, I don't have any problems at my house, blah, blah. But you need to be prepared because you're going to be so grateful that you visited Florida's Elite Restoration.com and gotten ready for mold, fire, flood, storm damage, and not getting caught, as Ira likes to say, with your pants down. Sage, you were out of practice
today. I got some takeaways, Steve.
We need some takeaways. Go ahead.
All right, Lee, I'll start it off right here. The spectacle of seeing Hassan Reddick on a field at one Buck place. The distressing, in some respect, sight of seeing a knee brace on Tristan Wirfs. And three, I'm still dehydrated from not getting a lick of water out there, watching with the heat index 105. If I'm the water whisperer, I'd like to whisper for some water tomorrow if I go back out there. So how do you like that, Lee? That started us off in fine fashion.
The only thing I'm going to say is I know you have the phone number of people who wield power at one buck. Use it.
Got to bring my own water, Lee.
Yeah, it's looking that way. I do at training camp, but I know it's sad, but hey.
The good news is that I got to talk to Sterling Shepard for 5 to 10 minutes. He's a hell of a talker. Steve Isbitz says he might be the best talker on the team. And he just might be.
He's up there.
I'll be writing that up for this week. Steve will have the privilege of putting that out for our readers. But overall, Lee, fairly uneventful. But that Wirfs thing is it's bothering me a little bit.
That was a jarring sight. This isn't sudden. The reason why I say that is last week, when there were still OTAs, I noticed Wirfs was in that practice. Well, you know, no big deal. It's not mandatory. Some guys are there. Some guys aren't. I think Wirfs may have missed a practice or two before that. No big deal, I didn't think, you know. Okay, well, after that practice, the Bucks also had an event for pediatric cancer that same day. And as Steve and I were leaving that event, because players were available, we could talk to them, as Steve and I are leaving the Glazer shed, I noticed Tristan Wirfs walking up. What the hell? I didn't see him out there.
So he's here.
He's around. And I thought, okay, maybe he's working out. But he missed practice. Okay. Well, whatever. He's here. And then today I see him with a big leg brace, you know, like a big black right on his right knee. Then I saw him working out with trainers. I'm like, this doesn't look good.
We don't want to throw our listeners into a tizzy here, Dave. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Todd Bowles said after practice that it was, quote, precautionary. And he said he will be ready for training camp. Not a maybe that he'll be ready for training camp. So, yeah, it's always scary when you see the guy working on the side with the trainer. To me, that's a, you know, a little different
animal.
I worry
about the knees on a big man. The knees on a big man, you know.
Sure.
A lot of wear and tear.
It's his sixth year. He's had ankle issues. You don't want to see a knee issue. I think he had a sprained knee once for a week. Cost him a week, but nothing to worry about. But it is scary when you see him out there like that.
Mayfield said Reddick is he's ultra fast coming off that edge.
Well,
I don't know if he said that because he saw him today or in games that he's played against him.
No, I asked him. I said, Baker, do you remember playing? What do you remember playing against Reddick or watching film in preparation for, you know, another team that played Reddick? And he just talked about the speed off the edge. And this is our first real great look at Reddick as far as in shorts, but he looks fit. He looks good. He's definitely communicative. You can tell that while he may not be smiling and laughing a lot with teammates, he's clearly a guy who's involved and engaged.
And I like the fact, Lee, that he's used to coming off the left edge. Most of your great, you know, rushers traditionally are the blindside guys coming off the right edge. He comes off the left edge. This way you leave Diaby on the right side. You don't have to mess with Diaby, flipping him over. And I think they're counting big time on Reddick.
They need to. You know, I was trying to think a couple nights ago. When's the last time a Super Bowl champion did not have a double-digit sack guy? It doesn't happen too often.
Not too often.
So they need him. I think the hierarchy at One Buck Palace, I believe they think they can make a Super Bowl run. Well, you don't make a Super Bowl run just to go to the NFC Championship game. You make a Super Bowl run to get there, to get to San Francisco, or shall I say Silicon Valley, where it is this year, Santa Clara. And again, I'll just state what I did earlier. It's not very often a team gets to a Super Bowl but doesn't have a legitimate edge rush. And I know I've been whining about this for years. There's a reason why I whine about it. It's so damn important.
Jason Light, if he were sitting here pounding beers with us, he'd say, hey, the Eagles, no double-digit sacker last year. Nobody great off the edge. Josh Sweat, 8 sacks.
Nolan that's not Smith. The norm, though.
No, I'm just saying that's what he would say. He would say that. And it goes to what the Bucs believe and the emphasis of Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles, and we remember Casey Rogers' famous words about not caring that much about an edge rush.
I don't know about that, Steve. It's not like they're not drafting edge rushers.
No, they want a good edge rush, but they're not as obsessed with it as many fans. And I just, you know, Lee mentioned that, so I wanted to point out that just last year, and everybody says, you know, there's always the new model. Oh, this team won the Super Bowl. They're the new model. Well, the Eagles pulled that off. That's all I'm saying.
I've been thinking about one aspect of this team that I don't think we've talked about much on our podcast. I find it kind of remarkable, kind of extraordinary. And I know those are strong words. But, Steve, here's what I'm talking about. I went over the potential starters. We know basically all the starters on offense, depending on Godwin's recovery and Egbuka, you know, what kind of impact he makes as a rookie. But other than that, we know Bucky Irving's now going to start as the lead back. We know the offensive line. And so here's what I'm saying, Steve. And this could be unprecedented. This could be unprecedented. The Bucs could have 18 or 19 out of 22 starters that were drafted by Jason Light. I mean, it's unbelievable, Lee. Most teams, you would think, I heard Pat Kerwin on Moving the Chains. Out of your starters, you want 8 or 9 that you drafted. You know, that's a good number.
That's all?
The Bucs could be looking at 18 or 19. It's very remarkable, Steve, about what's going on here. There's very few guys that are over the age of 30. This team is ascending, and it's young. I just think this drafting is remarkable.
How, outside of Mayfield, they've got 10?
Bredesen.
That's right, Bredesen.
Yeah.
So defense.
Defense, I think you're looking at Reddick.
Reddick, yeah.
Starters that like didn't draft. I mean, they're few and far between.
Now, the PFF tribe claims that Anthony Walker is starting. So if you factor him in,
I don't believe that's right.
I don't know it's not right. Servasio Dennis, that's all he talk about.
Yeah.
So it's Servasio Dennis, that's his job to lose.
His job to lose.
Barring an injury. And by the way, Servasio Dennis, you know, it's underwear football season still, people. Hitting is verboten, but if hitting was allowed today, Servasio Dennis would have splashed Mayfield. Splashed him. He had a free shot on him.
Mayfield was running or was a pass play?
Pass play. And Servasio Dennis was blitzing. Had a free open shot at him. Nobody touched him. Nobody blocked him. Came straight at him, but there's no hitting.
It's going to be exciting to what? Keep an eye on this Dennis guy. Going to be exciting.
It's all boils down to health. That's it.
We know he can play.
Suppose he's a player.
We don't know if he can play consistently.
If he is a player.
What if he's a player?
Well, his defense is going to be damn good, I think. I went ahead and said it. You know, people are probably running off the road, but if he is a quote-unquote player, I think his defense is damn good.
There's a lot of competition in the secondary, which there hasn't been, I don't think, in past years.
There's a lot of juice with the defensive backs. You saw more of that today. You know, they're coming in waves because these guys get in the field and they're fighting for jobs. But I still see, when I'm just watching, Parrish looks more impressive to me than Morrison. And just day after day.
You know, if Izzian is your seventh defensive back, that's not bad.
No, because he's not a bad player.
He's a valuable, versatile guy.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess right now, the slot position is Parrish's job to lose.
That's the way I look at it right now. That's the way I look at it.
A couple of commenters on Joe Buck's fan made some good points. I wrote this morning that, you know, Morrison is just a matter of time he's going to start because it's only a matter of time when Jamel Dean gets hurt. So I think Morrison will start when Dean gets hurt. Will Benjamin Morrison, Wally Pipp, Jamel Dean? And before Steve freaks out, I'll explain who Wally Pipp is in a moment.
I'm not sure it's going to get that far, Lee. I think he might beat him out.
Really?
He might beat him out.
Wow. Well, I was thinking Dean's going to start.
What do you make of Jeremy Fowler and coming out saying, I've talked to his sources on NFL Live on Friday on ESPN TV show, comes out, says, I talked to a source at $1, and his takeaway is that Godwin won't be ready week one. But same time, you also heard Brian Baldinger come in and talk about how Morrison is, you know, likely to play later in the year, you know, start the year behind Jamel Dean. When those guys, and keep in mind that Baldinger was here, special attendance of a practice last week, no media availability, but he got in. Do you believe those guys, or you believe they're getting that directly from the team specifically, or you think they, or do you question their sources a little bit?
I think sometimes executives in the front office are trying to send messages, maybe through the media.
I know where you're going.
So
now.
You got to be careful on that stuff, Lee. You got to be careful. But I trust Baldinger, especially with offensive linemen. He's really good, and maybe D linemen too. The trenches—that's his forte. He's a credible voice. He's a credible voice, Baldinger. And he knows people in the building.
Oh, of course.
He does. We know people in the building, too, and things that they've told us haven't always panned out.
I'm going to guess one or two people Baldinger was talking to, because they had all practice to talk to these guys. Light and or bowls.
And I see another report that the Mayfield-Trask battle was furiously competitive in 2023. I'm still not buying it, Lee.
Well, you talked to someone in August.
I'm still not buying it.
Well, I know
it was SpyTech talking. I saw a report.
Yeah.
I wrote that up. SpyTech looked in the camera in a national interview and took exception with the host who put a premise out there that, well, you know, from the outside, it looked like a competition with Mayfield, but blah, 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 blah. And he asked him a question. And then SpyTech goes back. He's like, wait a minute. It was a real competition.
And he talks about the Bucs a lot, SpyTech. Mind your own business over there.
If SpyTech really thought that Trask and Mayfield were...
That's a great point, Lee.
We're neck and neck. If he really believed that, he needed a quarterback a couple months ago. Trask could have been had for a song. Did he get him? No. Did Brady get him? No. So that tells me one of three things. Either Pete Carroll wanted nothing to do with him, or the two guys above Pete Carroll, who know Trask better than anybody, not in Tampa, one of those two guys didn't want him, or both didn't want him.
Strong point from Mr. DeKemper. Strong, Steve. Strong. Why wasn't SpyTech interested in Trask? If he was, why wouldn't Trask want that job?
Yeah.
To compete, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He knows he's not starting.
You're not competing
here
against Mayfield this year.
Look, Brady didn't like him. That's why he didn't sign with the Raiders. There's no other reason. That's it. That's it. End of story. Game over.
Oh, by the way, I better explain. Steve's going to strangle him.
No, I'm not strangling anybody. I don't know what you're talking
about. Wally Pipp is a guy. He started for the Yankees a century ago.
First base.
And then one day he said he had a headache. And some youngster on the bench by the name of Lou Gehrig started. And Wally Pipp never started another game for the Yankees.
15 years later, he was still looking. Steve, what'd you think of Mayfield's response to my question about, hey, are some of the guys up in the front office talking to you about curbing your running tendencies a little bit? He had a snappy line. They're worried about protection. I'm worried about winning games. I love that line.
Well, we talked about this last podcast that, you know, I don't think anybody's telling them to him. They may be, you know, saying to the side and peripheral dancing, you know, showing him something on film saying, hey, you might want to take it easy there. But I don't think anyone's going to tell him how to play. And I don't think he's going to listen to anybody when it comes to the instinctive stuff because it's worked for him for the last 10 years.
I agree with Mayfield's answers in terms of I'm going to pick my spots. Yeah. And if it's 3rd and 8. We got to keep the chains moving.
Yeah.
He's not going to think twice about it.
I agree with him.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I don't want to put shackles on the guy. Then you're messing with his mind.
Yes.
Don't mess with Mayfield's mind. A mind's a terrible thing to waste, Lee.
So a lot of energy, I thought, this practice. A lot of energy. A lot of tempo stuff.
And I saw some drop balls, Steve.
Spirited red zone.
There were some drop passes.
There were some drop balls, but and I put this in the notes that I typed up on JoeBucksFan.com. There were two throws to Mike Evans where – Look, he clearly let up to not get hurt, and I don't blame him for
a
second.
I don't blame him.
Deep throw to the corner, beautiful throw. It was him.
Not going to lay out.
Him
right?
And McCollum, he's not laying out. He skied for one back of the end zone, but he let up and sort of just caught instead of going for the ball. Like, he skied for his timing, but then basically forget the ball, and he just focused on landing, and he sort of hugged the goalpost bottom. And, you know, so you get a lot of that in underwear football and even
Lee,
in training camp.
Hey,
but smart
Lee, Lee, your guy continues to look polished. I know it's underwear football, but
smooth.
What you can tell about Egbuka,
yeah.
His hands are really good. His hands are really good.
I've been saying for months he's another Chris Godwin.
He snatches that ball. You know, there was one play where he sort of, I don't know if he turned late or Mayfield threw early. It doesn't matter.
21.
He had next to no eighth of a second.
He had to snatch it.
To get those hands out and grab, and he did.
I remember that.
Was he the guy waiting after everybody finished and taking balls from the machine?
Yeah, I tried to.
Was that
a lot of guys were. A lot of guys were.
I tried to talk to him after practice. Said, no, I got to work the juggling machine. So, okay, you got to jump.
This is something that doesn't come up. A lot of Bucs fans don't want to talk about it, but it comes back to, you know, NFL is filled with egos, and everybody wants to make everybody happy and all this other stuff. I think it's realistic that right now, or for all of 2025, I think it's realistic to say that there's a good chance that Egbuka may be better than Chris Godwin. Straight up.
Because of the injury?
I'm talking, yes, as far as what they can do this year, that Egbuka may be a better player all around than Chris Godwin. Now, my question is, are the Bucs, if that's fact, are the Bucs going to treat him as such? And will Godwin be willing to be a number three receiver on this team? You know, because that there are plenty of first-round pick receivers who walk in and they're true number ones. Rookie year, 950 yards, they're good players. I think Egbuka is that guy.
If that happened, Lee, it would really be a shame because Godwin was spectacular last year before he got hurt.
Well,
he really was. He was fantastic.
Probably the best receiver in football when he got hurt. We don't know about his health. We don't know. Nobody does, I don't think. That's a major factor. And number two, Godwin's got guaranteed money, doesn't he?
Yes.
So he shouldn't be too hacked off
He's
about it.
He's got guaranteed money.
Yeah, so I don't think he'll be too hacked off. Steve, I got to go back to something. The Evans catch, attempted catch, deep in the end zone, along the end line. Was that the pass that bounced off his hand and hit the crossbar?
I can't tell you for sure. No replay.
Okay, well, Zebra's one, it looked like he gave up on. But he had a hand
on
the ball, and it bounced off his hand and hit the crossbar.
I think they owe it to Godwin to be patient with him. Put him in the best possible shape.
That's not my question, Ira.
If you're asking me who's going to start week
one. No, I'm saying if week three rolls around and everybody watches Bucs football from the Glazers on down and they see, hey, you know what, Egbuka, forget about the past. He's a better player than Chris Godwin. This guy needs to be on the field 80% of the snaps. Are the Bucs going to sideline Godwin?
Are you also saying McMillan's better than Godwin at that point?
No, I'm not.
All right, so you're saying is could he handle being a third receiver?
Yeah.
I think he could because it's his first year bouncing back from an injury. And it's not going to be his last year as a Buccaneer. He's under contract, guaranteed money. Maybe he'll need extra time to bounce back.
Very possible.
And there's a chance Evans doesn't come back next year. I mean, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
So, Steve, you're not far-fetched. Everything I see from the Kemper's man crush over there, Egbuka, is positive. even Mayfield loves the guy.
He's smooth and he's got nice hands. And I love that quick first or two steps. He's got just, boom, he explodes that first step or two. Just explodes. He buys himself separation the way he explodes.
And we don't know that Godwin's going to be able to do that, especially early in the season.
Exactly.
We don't know that.
Exactly.
Mayfield said today that Egbuka is so cerebral,
yeah,
he can play every position right now. Probably go out there and be just fine.
Well, that's a guy you don't want off the field because then the defense is guessing. Where's this guy going to play? What route is he going to run?
So if Godwin's the number three receiver, maybe you move Egbuka out to an outside. I'm not messing with Godwin. He's got to be in the slot.
Yeah,
Godwin has to be in the slot.
And he wants to be in the slot. But I think that's a great safety net to have when Egbuka, like Mayfield said, right now, he wasn't talking about future. He's talking about right now. Egbuka can play, he thinks, every receiver position. That's a hell of a safety
blanket.
Reminds
me of what Bowles was saying about Tyke Smith. Last summer, before training camp, just how he absorbed the playbook.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with this kid.
Very well said, Sage. Very well said. All right. So I think this is some news on Chris Godwin that we have. No one else is going to have this, Ira. And I'm going to share it now.
That's
get your insight. And
only your devious mind would think in
this
direction.
No, it's not devious, Ira. It's not at all. But this is something that needs to be shared, and that's the way it goes. Florida's Elite Restoration. We mentioned them, Ira. This is who you call when you have a disaster at your business or at your home.
And technically, hurricane season has started.
It absolutely has started. And so anytime you have damage, water damage is a killer, could come from anywhere. You call them, and they are a restoration company, which means they will come and clean up, restore, stop the bleeding, make sure everything is right, and then you rebuild from there. They'll do that for you, too, if that's what you need, but you have to address these things immediately in order for your insurance to even cover it.
They know how insurance companies work, Steve. They know.
They absolutely do, because they have 25-plus years on that side of the business, and they are your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator. Get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. When you call, mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. And if after your free evaluation you need their help, you need them to work for you, then you'll get $500 back in your pocket or money for your deductible. floridaseliterestoration.com. 5-star Google reviews. All right, Ira. So who was on the field today? Who had an interception? Looked good. Told me he's 100% running around. Free as the
you
wind.
Tell me it's Jamal Dean. I'm turning in my lemonade over here.
No, it's number 34, not number 35. It's Bryce Hall, the cornerback who made the team last year as the number 3 corner.
And out of this entire roster, you asked to talk to Bryce Hall.
I asked to talk to Bryce Hall. Well, he's back, and he was lost week 1 with a horrific injury at the Lighthouse. They carried him off the field. Dislocated ankle, which automatically comes with a busted leg, busted fibula, screws up all your ligaments, everything else. Horrific injury.
The second one he's had, right?
Second one he's had. Now, he told me the same injury as Chris Godwin. Not only did he tell me that, that's what's been reported, but Bryce Hall told me he was cleared to play 100% full go in late February. 5.5 months after this horrific...
That is one hell of a recovery.
Horrific.
What do you say about the recovery? First time he had the injury?
First time he had it in college, took him a year. He said it was during COVID, so he thought he probably could have been maybe 11 months if there was more consistent therapy.
Rehab, yeah.
But
yeah.
It was much worse. Now, Chris Godwin has been out of action.
He got hurt in week 7?
Week 7, October, not cleared to play. And we're looking at going on... almost 8 months. 5.5. One guy's on the field running around, cutting, turning, you know, receiver-like movements. And the other guy's at 8 months. Chris Godwin walked out onto the practice field today in sweats. Didn't jog out to wave to the media. I only saw him walking, watched practice, went inside. Todd Bowles, what did he say? He said he's progressing.
What'd Hall say about Godwin's injury?
Todd Bowles said, you know,
no,
maybe...
No, Hall. What'd Hall say about Godwin?
Well, Bowles said that Godwin is doing all his work inside. And he said when the trainers clear him to go on the grass, he said we'll see what he can move around on the grass. That's what Bowles said. Well, I asked Hall what's it been like working with Chris Godwin's rehab, same injury. They've been rehabbing together. They were. And talking a lot about it. And Godwin, per Hall, Godwin said, you've been an inspiration to me. And now that I see you on the grass, man, I can't wait to get out there. And you know, I feel like I visualize it for myself. Hall's implication to me was that Godwin hasn't run on the grass yet. He hasn't been running because he talked about how with this injury, once you start running, you feel that all that strength work is there and it's a quick.
Didn't he also suggest Godwin's injury is worse than his?
He flat out told me, Ira, that Godwin's break was worse than his and he'll get there. What that means, I don't know. But this is a guy who's been there, same injury, multiple timetables, and has been working and talking to Chris Godwin regularly.
You know what this also shows us, Lee? You know, for people that say, Ira, you're stretching. I don't think so, Lee. The Godwin situation had to be a factor. A factor. I didn't say it's the overwhelming reason. A factor in picking a wide receiver in the first round when most Buck fans said you got to go defense. It was a factor, Lee. If Godwin hadn't had that injury, maybe they don't draft this kid as good as he is. Maybe. Maybe they don't. Maybe they take a defensive player. But, like you said, it's a luxury and it's an insurance policy against Godwin. And based on what Hall told Steve, maybe it's a necessary one.
Yeah, you obviously hope that's not the case.
You hope it's not the case.
But, you know, I had heard that every day people in the building reach out to the medical staff. What's going on with Chris? What's going on with Chris? Every day they're told, come along. He's coming along. They really don't know if he's going to be available.
You just said it. They really don't know.
Yeah, they really don't know. But the emphasis was that they check just about every day with the medical department, medical staff. And every day they're told, no, he's coming along. He's coming along. So.
Who's going to win the backup receiver jobs? Is Shepard in the mix?
If you're looking at McMillan, Egbuka, and Evans.
And Godwin.
Hypothetically, if Godwin's on the field, McMillan's number four.
But I'm saying, then you got Palmer.
And Shepard would be number five, I guess, is what you're asking. I don't even know Palmer's going to be on the roster. I really don't know.
You think Palmer's in jeopardy, Steve?
I think he's in jeopardy.
If he loses his return job?
Because Shepard showed he could make some big catches, and he's close friends with Baker Mayfield. That carries a lot of freaking weight.
It does.
You know?
Well, here's what I had heard about Palmer. Needs to improve his route running on deep passes.
Proof's on the film.
Proof's on the film because, number one, it has appeared that him and Mayfield have never been on the same page on deep passes. Well, I've been told that Palmer needs to work on his deep routes. The only reason he's on the roster is to stretch the field. And if he can't do that right, why is he on the roster?
I think this Tez Johnson's going to make the team, Lee, I think.
If Tez Johnson makes the team, Palmer better be running.
Johnson could make this team just returning damn punts and stretching the field.
Yeah, look, they want him to make the team. If he's their best punt returner, that's a valuable skill.
Mayfield talked him up today.
I don't know how many receivers they're going to keep. That's what is unknown. It's Josh Williams, undrafted out of LSU. He's got good hands. He's going to play.
Jarrett show you anything? Jarrett?
They're not really showing up, Ryan Miller. Look, I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't seen David Walker, the edge rusher, pop once. I saw Mayfield high-five Chris Braswell today for a rush.
I actually saw him get pressure one time.
You saw Braswell get pressure?
Yeah, this Dayton Bucks history.
You sure you weren't dehydrated?
To wrap up on Godwin, I think it just comes down to because of who we are. We're just not,
we all root for that guy.
We're all pulling for him. We're just not willing
Godwin
to swallow
we
the.
We like that one.
We're just not willing to swallow the company line whole here.
Right.
And we're trying to find out the truth. You know, I know a lot of Bucks fans, not only do they care about Godwin, but they also care about fantasy football and all sorts of other things.
I think they got enough offense. If Godwin needs a month and gets ready in October, I think this is still a very good offense.
Absolutely. I mean, they were in games when they were without Evans and without Godwin. They should have beat Kansas City. They should have beat
San
Francisco.
And they scored points. They scored points.
I worry, Ira, and it's just good problems, but Godwin got hurt October 21st. If he needs a year to start to be cleared to, let's say he needs 11 months to be cleared to practice, man.
I know.
Now you can run in the middle of the season.
But it could be a boost for the second half of the season.
You know, but there's the question of touches, and Grizzard has to keep, he's got to make sure Mike Evans gets 1,000 yards. If Egbuka's better than Godwin, he's got to get him the football. You got Cade Otton in the contract year. You got a head coach that wants to run the damn ball, and you got one of the better running games in the league.
You got Rashad White who wants to be fed.
And then you throw in Chris Godwin, who if he's back, he's going to pout if he gets two catch throws a game. And then you got the Glazers saying, look, we're paying this guy $23 million. Can we throw him the ball?
But Lee, it's also a nice problem in that respect.
Yeah. Sure, it's a nice problem. I still say.
They call it champagne problems, Lee? Is that what that's phrase?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about Servassier Dennis. You can talk about Godwin. You can talk about Jamel Dean. I still say the guy who has the most pressure on this team is Josh Grizzard. And the guy who is flying under the radar that I think has as much pressure on him, well, not as much, but a lot. But no one ever brings it up. I think I'm the only one who brings it up. Charlie Strong. Casey Rogers was a good interior defensive line coach. Not edge, but interior. He was very good. And obviously Bowles believes in stopping the run. Is Charlie Strong going to be able to match what Casey Rogers did? I don't know. So I think that's flying under the radar.
I think a player that's under a lot of pressure is Reddick. He's got Rosenhaus behind him. telling him, you have a big year, and we'll cash in together in 26. But he's got to have a big year, Lee, because he did nothing last year.
Yeah.
And his stock could really plummet even further if he has a mediocre season. I think Reddick's under a lot of pressure.
Tremendous pressure. He knows he needs the sack numbers. They say winning cures all problems. I worry a little bit about Reddick. if the Bucks are 6-3 and he's got 2.5 sacks, I think he's going to be upset with that. So it's just me, but clean slate. I hope he comes through. He's got a lot of pressure because everything's riding on it. He's too old to have a bad season.
I mock these guys all the time because they give me so much ammo, but I got to give them credit here. And I told you the PFF tribe tried to pick the starting lineups for the Bucks. They had Anthony Walker. At any rate, they also had, they didn't explain it, but I'm just assuming, they had 3 edge rushers in the starting lineup. So I'm assuming they're talking about a rotation. They had Anthony Nelson as one of those guys in rotation.
Anthony Nelson's
see that.
Always been a backup.
He's been a backup, but I mean rotation. I could see that, if that's what these idiots were talking about.
If they stay with the 3-4, Steve, I guess Logan Hall's going to be the starter with Veyer and Kancey, I would think.
Look, he's another guy in a contract year that they're looking to
do things. You know, he had 10 starts last year.
He had a solid year last year. Not flashy, but solid.
I guess you got to count him as a starter, Steve.
It's a good roster, Ira. I still struggle with your assessment of this Bucks offensive line being more talented than the Super Bowl line. And when I heard that last podcast that you said that and wrote it, when I think of the Super Bowl line, I also think of 2021. Same line.
Same offense,
same line, better performance. I just don't see it, but
I think it's harder to block for Mayfield in pass protection than it is to block for Brady.
It is.
I think it's harder.
Fair point, but better running game now. Maybe
better
that makes
game.
That easier. So, Sage, I wanted to jump to your...
I think they're super tight, Lee. I think that group is super tight.
Tight as in bad or tight as in good?
Good. The
okay.
O-line.
Yeah. I wanted to jump...
That's a brotherhood.
Yeah, oh yeah, very. It is. You're right.
I wanted to jump to something that happened at practice today, Ira, that you were pouting, you were upset, you were a little fired up.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the no water. Maybe it did, I don't know. But you are counting down your top 50 Buccaneers, most notable Bucs in history, based on their performance as Buccaneers.
That's right.
Now, you're only at number 36 that you've revealed so far.
Shelton Quarles was the last one, yeah.
But you got into a discussion with me and somebody else about the very top. And there was an argument about Rondé Barber versus Mike Evans. Now, I won't reveal where you are, but it was 2-1. And then you marched over to somebody else because you were so confident that person was going to side with you. And they instantly sided on the other side with no knowledge of the situation.
As did a few other people that I talked to.
So
I think it's a scrumptious debate, Lee. Greatest play in Buck history. He's got a gold jacket. Evans will get one, but this guy's already got one in Rondé. I was leaning towards Rondé, but I'm not gonna knock Mike Evans. The consistency is incredible. But you want to talk stats? Nobody's got stats like Rondé Barber, Lee. Nobody.
Well, you're right.
Most tackles by a defensive back in league history.
Well, Evans, how many touchdowns?
Not the most in history.
No, he's damn good right up there.
Yeah, he's damn good, but, I mean, he's not in Jerry Rice category. But,
no,
you know, Rice has 200. But Mike Evans, I think Mike Evans and Levante is a decent debate. I think it's a decent debate.
I couldn't pick Levante over Mike Evans or Rondé. He's up there, but not above those guys.
Didn't you have Brady number 2? Or somebody had Brady number 2?
No, it wasn't
I can't
me.
Go there. I can't go there.
And by the way, I was asked by the Bucks, and I'm very appreciative of it. I was asked by the Bucks. They're putting out their top 50, and I was one of the selectors, I guess you could say.
Yes, you were.
And I know I had Leroy number 1. When Belichick and Mean Joe Green both say he was the best 3-man front edge rusher, that's all I need to know. Sapp 2, Brooks 3. I want to say I had Evans 4. Once I had Evans 4, I had Brady up there. I know you didn't like that.
No, I had him in my top 10.
Someone was telling me that they... Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I did. I did have Brady in my
top
10.
Someone told me that I had Brady way too high because he wasn't here long enough. Like, he changed the team. He changed the culture. Plus, he got a Super Bowl. So, I had Werps in the top 10 as well.
You know who's getting squeezed a little? Lynch. Lynch is getting squeezed. I'm not sure if he made my top 10 or not.
I don't want
to say about a Hall of Fame.
I had Levante David over Lynch.
Well, since you're counting it down and you... For your column, you could still make some changes.
I can.
So you can still analyze it. Nothing's in stone. Of course, you wrote out your list initially. Just a little taste there. There's some great arguments. I'm glad in your 36-40 rollout, Ira, 36, you had Shelton Quarles, linebacker from the initial golden era.
Free agent.
Stellar free agent pickup.
You know, he started 8 years at middle linebacker for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Shelton Quarles.
So followed by Davin Joseph, 37. Kevin House, 38. Joey Galloway, 39. Cadillac Williams, 40. Any quick thought there? Struggles there, Ira?
Well, I want to be fair to Cadillac Williams. Steve, he didn't do much after that rookie year, but how am I going to knock him for two patella tendon tears, one in each knee? I mean, you know, that was one hell of a rookie season by Cadillac. It came out of nowhere. And they made the playoffs that year after two bad years for Gruden. 03 and 04, bad years. Of course, 03 was the falling out with Keyshawn. 04 was really bad. And then here comes Cadillac Williams, the fifth pick in the draft in 05. And 430 yards his first three games. The Hall of Fame asked for his...
jersey, right?
Yeah, his jersey and
cleats.
Stuff. Cleats. And they made the playoffs that year. They lost to Washington in a terrible loss where Washington had 120 yards of offense and they beat the Bucks. Thank you, Chris Sims. Thank you.
Well, and not to kill Chris Sims, but didn't Sean Taylor have like a 70-yard fumble return as well?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sage, now I know you don't like when I say this, but a guy who had a measurably better rookie year. You're telling me Cadillac Williams, number five overall pick, came out of nowhere.
Oh, I bet
I know
where you're
going.
A guy
who had a measurably better rookie year.
I bet I know where you're
going.
Was
Doug Martin.
Well, Doug Martin isn't, he hasn't been listed yet, so I got him higher.
Oh, you do?
Doug Martin's on the list.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Doug Martin's on the list.
Oh, okay. I didn't have either one.
You can't
one.
Knock two spectacular seasons.
Oh, all right.
I did not have. I don't think I had Doug Martin. I know I didn't have Cadillac.
I bow to the sage.
The Doug Martin saga is a very sad one.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I was going to slap you, Ira, because I assumed you didn't have Doug
Martin.
No,
he's on my list.
I'm glad he's on your list. He belongs on your list. And bottom line, if you were going to say you can't knock Cadillac for injuries, Martin lost a couple years for injuries as well. So
and I'm glad he's there. There were other things going on with Doug Martin.
Absolutely, but I'm glad he made it. Glad he made it.
He was a hell of a draft pick, Doug Martin. Beautiful draft pick.
Way too inconsistent. He'd have a good year, then two lousy years.
Boy, he could break tackles, couldn't he, Steve? He could bust tackles, Doug Martin. And he wasn't a Derrick Henry, you know, Bill.
He didn't. I remember that Giants game. I believe he was a rookie. Shannon was coach when Eli Manning went bananas.
Yeah, I was at that game.
There were a couple, and I was at the game, too.
That was the game with the laydown, and Shannon ordered them to bust.
Yeah, and Tom Coughlin went bananas.
Yeah, Coughlin went bananas.
That game, there were a couple of runs. Had Doug Martin been able to break a tackle, they would have won that game.
But they scored plenty of points.
They scored enough points they needed to score more.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't stop the Giants. There were a couple of late runs. You could argue they should have passed. They handed off to Doug Martin. Had he been able to break some tackles, they would have won that game. I can't say that soured me on Doug Martin, but I was leery about Doug Martin after that.
Two 1,400-plus yard seasons and two injured seasons.
What did he average per carry those two seasons?
Rookie year, 4.6 yards a carry. 2015, 4.9 yards a carry.
Very impressive.
Yeah,
very impressive.
You know, so I'm shocked that he made your list, so I feel good.
That's when him and Charles Sims, that was the all-star backfield over there.
There you go.
My man Charles
Sims. You guys can have your
As soon as I talked him up, he never did another thing. Lee goes, take it easy with Charles Sims.
Yeah,
take it easy.
Nothing.
So, Ira, before we head out of here, Sterling Shepard, what did he tell you that you liked that was juicy?
Well, he said Josh Grizzard was the right guy at the right time. Fully on board with that, and he knows Grizzard. Loves Mayfield. Obviously, they go way back. He thinks this offense is spectacular. And you know what? I think he's right.
Now, Steve was writing about this. It's from when Ibuka was on NFL Network last week, was it, Steve? That Ibuka said that Shepard's kind of taking him under his wing. Did he mention anything about that?
I think he did. You'll have to read it, Lee. You'll have to read it. This is a good football team, Steve. It's a good football
team. It is a good team. It really is a good team. And we can't wait for the damn season to start.